Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
Just getting ready for what is guaranteed to be your best segment of the week.
I don't think there's any question
or
about that.
Month.
Corey, did you have to spend a lot of time waiting last night for the Will Smith and Chris Rock drama to conclude? What a story that was.
Had to wait for the Oscars for sure. Yeah, it's still funny because people are still wondering today whether it was real or not. I would have to say it definitely was real. And let me just add, while I do agree inappropriate, it is never okay just to deck somebody. It's just not.
That is correct. You can't just walk up on stage and start hitting people.
You don't get to do
that. Slap.
It doesn't matter. You don't get to strike another person just because you are upset. That's not the way society works.
It was unbelievable to watch this happen.
And yet I can't stop laughing about it.
Last night it was crazy to watch this whole thing take place. Corey, we've talked a lot today about A.J. Brown. Wide receivers are getting money thrown at them left and right this offseason. What do we think that number looks like for A.J. Brown, and would it behoove the Titans to get that done sooner rather than later?
You know, it's interesting, guys, because when Jarrell Casey was in his prime, they kept, you know, they stayed on him with two new deals because they wanted to beat the tackle market before Ndamukong Suh and some of these guys got paid. And so they were kind of setting the market and getting in on the lower end, yet they've continued to wait with some of these guys, and the price just keeps going up. Now, do I expect it to be $30 million a year? No. I mean, look, I love A.J. Brown. You love A.J. Brown. He's a dynamic player, without question. I mean, without question, he and Derek Mason are the two most talented guys they've had at that position since they moved to Nashville. There's no question about it. However, realistically looking at it, what's his biggest yardage total for a season been? Like 1,100?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you've got to keep that in mind. And you do have to keep in mind, like you said, how many good young receivers are out there. So, you know, if he wants $30 million a year, I think he's going to have to go somewhere else to get it. Do I think he can fall in the 20 to 22 million a year area? Sure I do, because we saw last year that he probably is, outside of the quarterback, the most important piece to this Titans offense as far as making it more dynamic. I said that early in the season, and I was treated like a pariah, but as the season played out, you saw the difference he made. Not saying that he's better than Derrick Henry or Derrick Henry isn't he is. But the Titans could still run the ball without Derrick Henry. They had a heck of a time trying to throw it without A.J. Brown. So I think he's going to get paid unless, you know, he hops on board the crazy train and wants to get $30 million a year.
No, I agree. I mean, in between that and, look, he has had a multitude of injuries, too.
Look,
if you're on the other side of the table, you're going to bring these things up. So that's going to be fascinating. You brought up Derek Mason, so I don't know how closely you – followed along with the Twitter back and forth and the Mariota tweet and all that stuff. But if you are aware of all that stuff, Corey, what's your takeaway?
Well, look, I saw it when it first got tweeted out. And my reaction is that's not offensive at all, because he's just complimenting a guy who he says is the best leader he's ever played under. To me, that's not a slight at Ryan Tannehill. That's a compliment to Marcus Mariota. If I said, Joe, I think you're the finest columnist I've ever read, is that a slight to Peter King? Is that a slight to John McClain or Paul Kaharsky? No.
Hopefully to Kaharsky, but yes.
I hear you. It's a compliment. I understand that in this day and age, you have to be careful on social media, because people are going to be looking to dig into absolutely everything. How many times have you wrote something and deleted it because you said, I don't mean this, but this is what people are going to think? I mean, I feel like that's a daily occurrence, okay? And so, you know, if A.J. wants to be a social media, that's fine. That is his right.
I think we lost Corey. We'll try to get him back.
I think AJ zapped him? Zapped Corey. Oh, my gosh. He just Will Smith Corey off the airwaves.
Maybe so.
He was making a good point there, too.
He was, too. We'll get Corey back on the phone, get his thoughts on the AJ Brown situation and the Titans as well.
Now I wish I would have, like, verbalized that during the rant. Like, everything has to be a slight.
Right.
Everything has to be, like, it can't just be complimenting someone. There has to be some sort of a slight embedded in there, right?
Well, some of that's our fault, too. Like, we read into everything.
Well, no, it is our fault. Yeah. I mean, I'll also raise my hand. Like, I'm part of this problem, too.
Like the combine? We just read into everything at Indy?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Vrabel and Robinson say.
Right. Goodbye to Ben Jones. See you later, buddy. It's been the memories have been sweet. All right.
We were efforting Corey Curtis. We'll see if we can get him back on the line here on the program. But he was making a good point there. I agree. Like, I don't think A.J. Brown approaches $30 million. I think 20, 22, 23, somewhere in there is probably what gets it done per year.
And the interesting thing about that is, obviously, you think about in the NFL, like, it's not a long career for most guys, and the second deal is the deal. But I could see A.J. Brown looking at that like, okay, so I'm going to take a shorter deal because the cap's going to keep going up.
Sure.
And like by year like four of that deal, it could be really underpaid.
Yeah.
But then if you do that, you know, I mean, there's risks either way with that. But, I mean, I would tend to agree with that. He should be in the low, maybe reaching toward the mid-20s. But
well, the thing is, like, he could set himself up for two gigantic deals. He's 24. Like, you could, you know, you can sign a deal until you're 28, 29. Devontae Adams, 29, and he just signed a four-year mega million deal. I mean, this could be the beginning of two huge ones for A.J. Brown. Now, it's the NFL. Things can happen. You got to stay healthy, all these things. But A.J. Brown, this could be the first of two gigantic contracts for him.
Yeah, I guess you know, a four-year deal is probably fine.
Sure.
But if it's that's about the AAV, I could see also being like, you know what? How about a three-year deal?
Yeah.
Or a two? It won't be a two-year deal, but you know what I mean? Because in a few years, that cap's, I think, going to be – it's just going to be a different market.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any question about that. And the thing is, like, if he stays healthy, and Corey brought this up, we all know what A.J. Brown is and how good he is and how he can take over games. I think we're all aware of that. I mean – his top yardage in a season so far is 1,075. This last year, he had 869 yards. Now, you know, he only played in 13 games this past year, and in some of those games he played in, he was not completely healthy. But it's one of those things where, you know, the numbers to get to some of those top guys, like Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, those type guys, he has not gotten there yet in his career.
Right. You can see all of the ingredients sure. for him to be there, but it hasn't. And now if you're on his side of the table, you also point out, look, in other offenses, I would have bigger numbers. And that's fair. He would. So that's also part of the equation. By the way, Corey Curtis is okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
For everybody wondering, it's our phones that have – A.J. Brown has cut our phone lines.
Yeah, he's fine.
I'm just kidding.
AJ's coming here and with scissors.
Yeah.
Big ribbon cutting scissors. Snap the phone line.
That's enough out of you, Corey Curtis.
That's right. Steven on the text line says, the whole Will Smith thing just makes me want to rewatch Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories about getting slapped by Rick James. This is coming from Steven on the text line.
Good reference. Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. Great stuff on Chappelle's Show. I mean, my personal favorite was when they played hoops with Prince. Pancakes and hoops. Game blouses. Prince could ball.
Yeah. I mean, I've now found myself back on Twitter, and all my timeline is right now is just either Will Smith, Chris Rock memes or people arguing about Will Smith and Chris Rock. That's all it is.
Yep. Get used to it.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Matt in Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, says, regarding compliments and slights, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Matt in Nashville, but really Isaac Newton, third law of motion. It's coming from Matt in Nashville.
Mm.
Little Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky stuff there.
That's yeah, good. That's right. Profound.
That's good stuff.
Some of the text line mentioned Christian Pulisic, by the way. Hat trick. USMNT. World Cup bound.
They took it to Panama yesterday.
They did. Pretty sweet goal. He had the penalty, but the one goal was wow.
Yeah.
Guy's fun to watch.
Pretty good stuff.
Yes.
Jim on the text line says, it's a good thing they weren't wearing sweatsuits instead of real suits at the Oscars. Otherwise, there could have been some sort of violence. It's coming from Jim on the text line. I believe that is a shot at Stillman of the suit take of Juwan Howard. If he's wearing a suit, he wouldn't have got in a fight on the sideline.
Good call.
Well, they were wearing suits.
I mean, that's the thing. That almost makes me regret the mute because that take is so astoundingly dumb. That, like, it's worth laughing at. Dang it. Wait, was that a take on Twitter or was that actually on the air?
I think both.
Good. Double up. On the really good ones, make sure you put them out there everywhere you could possibly put it. Juwan Howard, if you only had a bow tie on, you would have just shaken his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
William from Madison on the text line says, I guess because Will Smith got in a fight, his mom will send him to live with his aunt and uncle in Beverly Hills.
No.
I may be showing my age with that joke. There was a lot of that on Twitter.
His uncle in Bel Air.
Yeah.
Not Beverly Hills.
Yeah, not Beverly Hills.
And yes, I love Friends, Prince of Bel Air. I saw you look over to see if I knew it. Yes, I love it.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, you know, where I come down on Will Smith is, like, I've always enjoyed him as an actor. Always been pretty down on his music. But, you know.
You like Miami?
Parents just don't understand what's kind of cute.
Oh, man.
But great actor, and clearly a good slapper.
Have you been in any, like, boxing movies? Wasn't he, like, Muhammad Ali?
Yes, yeah. He played Ali, yeah. And he actually, like, he was really good, I thought, as Ali. So
there you go. Good follow-through.
Honestly, that probably did help him, right?
Rearrange Chris Rock's jaw.
Yeah, probably helped him feel more confidence as a... I'd still say the most impressive thing is that Chris Rock just took it, stood in there, didn't flinch, didn't move... And it was just like, whoa, he just slapped me. Like, wow. And then finally the pain started to wash over him as he kept trying to host
the show.
There's
still a big argument on Twitter as to whether or not it was real or fake. It looked pretty real to me, man.
Yeah.
Smith's reaction to it and continued reaction through it, like through commercial breaks and then in his acceptance speech of the award he won 25 minutes later. I think I'm pretty sure it's real.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I understand. Anything that comes out of Hollywood, you're going to, you know, it's Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
These are actors. But no, that was real. I'm very confident in that. I'm also agreeing with.
Please have Will Smith host the Oscars next year. It'd be amazing.
There you go.
Chris Rock and Will Smith hosting together.
Kick him out.
That's my thing.
He had to. I mean, they knew that he was about to win.
Best actor?
Your best actor. Like, what do you do?
Well,
Jada, accept it.
That's
true. Will Smith has won best actor.
Will
Smith has been removed from the building.
Yeah, he just made this video with his phone outside the building accepting the award. You know? And I agree with my former coworker, Kavitha Davidson, who says, I am begging national political news shows not to attempt to wade into the Chris Rock Will Smith discussion. Oh, my God. I agree.
Well, you know
so
that's going
to
happen.
But
right?
It's going to happen. Every single thing must then go through that lens. Yes. Can't wait.
Potentially, my favorite part of the whole thing was, like, you can see when they're showing Will Smith after and he's yelling at Chris Rock, you can see the people around him, like in the back, they're just laughing because they think it, I guess they thought it was a joke. And then, like, as they progressively realize that it's not a joke, the facial expression changes and just complete silence in the entire room is amazing. Well, as Chris Rock said, one of the great nights in television history.
Yeah.
I'll remember that one.
I mean, this is going to be more remembered than some Oscars, that's for sure. I'm glad I taped it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in says, anyone who's questioning whether or not it's real needs to find the uncensored, unedited version and watch that. There is that. It's quite something.
Yeah, we played that earlier.
Yeah, we did not play the unedited version.
Yeah, I mean, we played it with bleeps. Yes. Yeah.
Brian in Portland texting in says, I say we get Will Smith some skates and get him on the Preds as soon as possible. Have him as a fourth line forward and get in a couple of fights. Will Smith, hockey career. Brian in Portland.
A couple years ago, they really could have used a little help in that way.
Yeah.
Know? They're probably good now.
Yeah, I think they've got that part covered. Yeah. By the way, people continue to try to fight Tanner Janot. That went well. It was actually not a bad fight last night, but most of the time, not a great idea. Fight
yeah, I mean, actually, that was decent.
Of the but attempts, yeah, you better be that real. Was one of the that was one of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you know you could think, okay, he just had a kid. Maybe he's really tired. Maybe this is the time to fight him.
Maybe so.
Maybe that was it. But yeah, for the most part, I'd avoid that.
So Titans on the Titans front announced today by Mike Vrabel down in Florida at the owners' meetings, the Titans will be practicing with Tampa Bay and Arizona in the preseason, both those practices taking place in Nashville. So practicing with two teams in the preseason, and Tom Brady and the Bucs, once again, one of those. So is that three out of the last 4 years they'll practice against Brady in some form or fashion?
Yeah, I think that's right. And the 1 year was the weird, right? I mean, that was the they didn't do any. No one did anything in 20, right?
Correct.
So it's just a – eventually it's going to finally get Brady here to be the quarterback. I mean, I think that's the long game that Vrabel's playing, right? Yeah. To finally get his buddy to come quarterback for him.
We'll see if Kyler Murray has a new contract by the time. That's the other thing. Like, we've talked so much about these quarterbacks, and we've forgotten about Kyler Murray and his agent, like, freaking out at the Cardinals. Is he going to have a new contract by the time that comes around?
Yeah, that one's been lost. I mean, it's been the most quarterback drama offseason. This has been a decade's worth of quarterback drama. We still have two starting quarterbacks who aren't right now starting next year.
Yeah. At the moment.
Yeah. I mean, and just teams waiting it out. Just waiting it out. I mean, the haul for both of those guys is going to be so underwhelming to the teams who right now have their rights.
Let's say they, like, if the Niners can't trade Jimmy G, or at least they don't get anywhere close to what they thought they were going to get for him, like if he hangs around and they keep him, is there a chance he's a starter again next year? Or they just be like, sorry, dude, we're waiting to trade you until somebody gets hurt in the preseason or something?
Well, it seems like they are committed to Trey Lance, right? Yeah. Like, they're not going to do the – I mean, obviously the Packers thing is, you know, you have one of the greats as your starter, and the Niners do not have one of the greats as their starter. But although it's not ideal for your cap, he'd be a pretty good backup to have.
Not bad.
I don't know exactly where they are with that, but that certainly wasn't the plan. Clearly not the plan. I think Matt Ryan is definitely a better option, for example, than Jimmy G. But I still think Jimmy G is good enough to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do respect to Marcus Mariota. I have a lot of respect for Marcus Mariota. I think I'd probably pick Jimmy G as my starting quarterback over Marcus Mariota.
It's not close, yeah.
Well, I know it's not close for you.
Well, I mean, come on.
Because you hate Mariota.
Let's look at what these guys have done. It's not close.
Actually, I'm going to look. I'm going to look at Mariota's best season and how it compares to Jimmy G's best season.
Okay. Go right ahead.
I bet you it's closer than you think.
Well, one of them has ended up in a Super Bowl and an NFC title game.
Well, that's true, but wins are not a QB stat.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, are we giving Jim? How much credit does Jimmy G get for those runs? He was fine. He's a game manager. He was fine.
He was much better in the Super Bowl run than he was in this past trip to the NFC Championship.
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, he was good. Let me. I'm going to pull these up though, because you know Mariota in 2016, 3,400 yards, 61%, 26-9, a rating of 95.6. Okay. I mean, that's
pretty good.
That's your second year as a pro quarterback. That is very promising. That's possibly he's growing into, you know, a special quarterback, right?
Sure.
And I know that was a while ago. So that's another part of this, too, is that Mariota, you know, as long, you know, we know all the things that happened here.
Problem with Jimmy G is, like, in 17, he played six games. In 18, he played three games. 19. He played 16, so that's like the 1 year he's played in every game.
Yeah. So, you know, that year, his best year, 39-78, 27 TDs, 13 picks. He did have a 102 rating. So, yards per attempt, awfully good, 8-4. Yeah. So, not as good in some ways as Mariota's best year, but overall better rating. Comparable. God, he is pretty. He's pretty average. That Jimmy G, isn't he? I mean, they both are. But like, look, the original point stands. He's good enough to start for someone.
Sure. Hey, well, and it was funny. Like, Marcus talked about his time with the Titans over the weekend too. It was basically like, you know, it was the turnover and all the different changes. He was growing tired of that, and he got hurt and didn't play well, and he feels like these last couple of years with the Raiders have been a nice reset for him and feels like he's ready to be a starter once again. I think he's going to get a chance to find out, at least to start with.
To me, it's all about its health, and then it's all about how he's utilized. To me, it's, look, you let it rip, man. You utilize what he's good at, and he has to be a runner a lot. He has to be a runner more than he's ever been if he wants to keep the job. Now, that puts him in danger more, and so that's probably not ideal. But to me, that's how he is more than just a very brief stopgap.
Well, the thing is, like, he's only 28. Like, yeah. He's still young. Now, he'll be 29 in October, but he's still a young guy, especially that position.
Right, but, I mean, guys are giving up on it 23 now,
yeah.
24. So I didn't think he was going to get this. I'm excited to watch it, and I am happy for him to get this opportunity because he deserves it in terms of how he goes about his business, you know, and how on a daily. I mean, look, what AJ Brown said. That's what people should be thinking of rather than Tannehill. Is no, that's a pretty big statement on him, right?
Sure.
So good for him. I still think it's probably going to be pretty short term.
We've got Darren McFarland coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on a win last night for the Predators against the Flyers, setting up a big opportunity for the Predators this week to collect some more points. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll get into the NCAA tournament. The Final Four is set. What do we think of the Final Four? Who do we think has the best chance to win? We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And some breaking news on the NFL front that Joe Rexrode is going to love. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How would you like to be North Carolina? So you go and spoil Coach K's senior night. All right? And an incredible, incredible win. And you feel pretty good about yourself. You figure, you know what? You're going to go in the whole summer. You know what? We've dealt with Duke. We kind of exercised the demons. We won not only at Cameron, but we sent Coach K home in his last game. All right? With a loss. And then you turn around. You earn your way to the Final Four. And you know what your reward is? You get Coach K and Duke, who's playing their best basketball of the season. But it is good. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be historic. I mean, fans in the stands. I mean, it's usually an event. Now it's going to be an event on steroids in the grandest of stages of all of college basketball.
That was Seth Greenberg from ESPN discussing the Final Four, specifically the matchup between Duke and North Carolina. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe, the Final Four is set. Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, and Kansas in the Final Four. So it's been a very entertaining tournament. There have been upsets left and right. St. Peter's goes on a magical run to the Elite Eight. By the way, taking down Purdue the other day, pretty impressive in that game. Considering they were, you know, they had guys that were like literally a foot and a half taller than them on the other side. But they win that game anyway. They make it to the Elite Eight. And then at the end, in the Final Four, it's Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, and Kansas. Although UNC is an 8 seed.
I think that for Purdue in particular, every year there are teams. I mean, Kentucky fans still smarting. Tennessee fans know they had a team, you know, that could have made a run. There's always teams by this point, of course, and even by a week ago, who are sitting at home knowing that they could have done something. But, you know, Purdue, if you're a Purdue fan who watched North Carolina finally make St. Peter's look like the second-place team in the Metro Atlantic, you know, like you've got to be just like, we were never make the Final Four We will never make the Final Four. You couldn't have asked for a better path. And Purdue, North Carolina probably would have been a great game. But, man, Purdue. 1980. You know, for Rick Barnes as a coach, of course, you know, very well documented. Underperforms in the tournament relative to regular season, like dramatically.
Yeah.
Purdue as a program, it's incredible. They're as good a regular season program as the Big Ten has had in that time. They won more Big Ten championships, like in Bobby Knight's heyday, and he won 3 national titles. Like, they just, it's weird almost how this has happened for Purdue. So, shout out to the Boilers. Boiler up.
Well, shout out to the Peacocks. I mean, it's North Carolina's lucky they had an off night. Otherwise, they'd still be around in the Final Four.
Shout out, Doug. Shout out, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting there watching it yesterday, and granted, watching it streaming on a phone while outside at 7-on-7 all day, but still, watching it and just seeing missed layups and Doug getting wide open threes, and man, it's too bad. They looked like they were actually tight. You know, like people are expecting them to win this game. It had gotten that crazy. I still think you could argue that the run they made to the Elite Eight as a 15, which has never been done before, is as Cinderella a story as we've seen.
Yeah, I think you could certainly make that argument. So now that the Final Four is set, what do you think of the matchups? We'll start with Villanova and Kansas, and then we'll get to what will certainly be the more highly discussed matchup with Duke and North Carolina this week. Probably way too much discussed this week of Duke and North Carolina. Can't wait.
Could be. Yeah, if you're not a fan of the like the lore of that series, you probably don't want to. Probably want to mute some people this week. Actually, do some muting or not listening. But yeah, Kansas Villanova. I keep looking at Villanova and saying they're not that good. You know, like I said, like, you know, when they beat Michigan. I mean, Michigan missed bunnies galore, and I'm looking at that like, yeah, Tennessee could have beat Villanova. But, I mean, you know, Villanova is a very tough team. Jay Wright is as good as it gets right now in this tournament. 20-3 since 2016. That's insane. So, it's hard to count them out. Now, remember, too, though, Justin Moore tore his Achilles, which is brutal for them. So, you know, you take that into account. I think that's why, you know, Kansas is favored. I bet you that line increases some this way. I think it was like 4.5. I wouldn't be surprised to see that go up a little bit. Kansas is, I mean, Kansas bores the heck out of me, but Kansas is good. Very, very good. Good bigs, you know. Agbaji's a very good player. You know, Remy Martin, Arizona State transfer. Good team. They played an incredible second half yesterday and just burying Miami. I mean, they were losing, and it looked like that was going to be a great game to the end, and all of a sudden Kansas just wipes them off the court. So that's an okay game. Kansas-Nova. One blue blood, Kansas. One not blue blood, but very good, possibly best program right now in college basketball, but not a blue blood.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't even consider UCLA that anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, UCLA won all those titles with John Wooden, you know, back before people had color TVs.
This is true.
You know, and they've been trying to recapture that. That's back when, you know, Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor go 4 years in college, and then they go off to the NBA. I mean, that, you know, again, you're talking late 60s, early 70s. That's not what that program has been for the better part of a half century now.
Bill Self going for national title number 2. Coach K going for national title number 6, taking on North Carolina in the Final Four as well. What do you think of this Duke-North Carolina matchup? We saw North Carolina smack Duke around Will Smith style a couple weeks ago finale of the regular season tournament. And now a matchup in the Final Four, Coach K's last season. You know, I saw somebody point this out, and I think it may have been Kyle Tucker that pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, but like from a NCAA tournament TV rating standpoint, you probably couldn't have asked for much better in terms of the upsets that we've seen in this tournament, and then it ending up with the matchups that we see in the Final Four. Lots of people going to be watching that Duke North Carolina game.
Yeah. Now, no question. And look, St. Peter's is an incredible story, but I think that you're going to get much higher ratings for Duke UNC than you would have for Duke St. Peter's? I know probably a lot of people who are following this would say, no, please, I want Duke St. Peter's. Can you imagine St. Peter's sending Krzyzewski into retirement? That'd be pretty sweet. But, I mean, Duke Carolina in the Final Four. It's never happened, which is kind of amazing that at some point,
I know,
given the success of both programs, it's never happened. And it is. It's. I mean, I think Seth Greenberg laid that out pretty well. It's like Carolina, like, yeah, I mean, they're out there on Franklin Street. They're just going nuts. Like, they won the Natty, and they're done with K, and now K can get them back in the Final Four.
Also, Hubert Davis' first year as a head coach.
It's pretty amazing.
If he could win a national championship, I mean, I know he took over North Carolina, but that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Like, is Roy Williams just going to be hanging out in the crowd the whole time, too? Like, he's just going to every game, hanging out in the crowd, waving down at Hubert Davis?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Some of y'all are my players. How's it going?
Then he's going to head over to Bojangles. All shucks, by golly. Yeah. Yep. Have a Coca-Cola.
Do some dances in the locker room after.
Probably.
Seen a few of those videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, pretty good job done by Hubert Davis in this tournament.
Yeah, when a lot of people were complaining loudly about him. Tar Heel Twitter. Woo. Back in mid-70s. They were bad. Both of these, you know, Duke's been good all year, but they've looked really vulnerable. Carolina was bad. That's why they made a late run to be an 8 seed. And look at what they're – I mean, they look really good now. So, I'm excited for the game. And there's just – this rivalry, there's been a lot of great stuff done about it. You know, things written, documented. I mean, it is – for people who are in it, it's one of the – I think it's one of the best ones in sports. It's – you know, they're 8 miles apart, and it's just pure – bitterness both sides, which is the best rivalry to have.
Yep, looking forward to that one and seeing if Coach K can get it done. I'm rooting for Carolina. I'm just throwing it out there. I think Duke's gonna win, but I'm rooting for Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina to win it.
No,
like who's the most?
I'm rooting for Kansas to win it.
God, why?
Me too.
Just because.
Sorry, Mike from Nolensville, but yeah. No one wants Kansas to win it. Don't root for Kansas to win it.
Well, I'm not rooting for Duke or North Carolina.
How about Nova?
I'm tired of Nova.
Tired of Nova too.
Because they think they're blue bloods.
Because
my uncle's a huge Nova fan. Can't do that.
So if they win a third title since 16,
let's go Jayhawks.
Then they have a case that they're blue blood. The funny thing is, you know, if Nova wins, so Nova of course won with Raleigh Massimino. That's probably the most unlikely champion ever, by the way, like an 11 seed, right? I think they were an 11 seed, or maybe they were an 8-9, but they basically made every shot against Georgetown. And yes, some of their players were on cocaine, but regardless, it was the 80s. It was an incredible story. But Villanova, if they win this title, they will have more all-time championships than Kansas, which is a blue blood. So, I mean, if you're going by titles,
yeah,
Kansas a little bit fraudulent.
And very recent, 16 and 18.
Yeah,
right.
Hey.
I mean, that's pretty wild that Kansas has three total titles,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and won one since Mario Chalmers hitting that dagger against Memphis.
And that last title, you talk about Memphis, just here you go, gift wrap this. Let me miss every three free throw and just, oh, Calipari. Oh, Cal. I blame Cal for those missed free throws. Yeah.
Joe, some breaking news on the NFL front. This is going to be right up your alley. The team for Hard Knocks has been announced for this season. And it is the Detroit Lions.
Finally.
Dan Campbell and company will be on Hard Knocks coming up beginning August 9th on HBO. I'm excited.
I can't think of a better way to prove to the world that the Roar is being restored than the Lions. There it is. Wow. It's all coming together.
Well, this might actually cause me to watch Hard Knocks. That'd be a good step.
I'll give it a try. Honestly, that show has – these NFL teams have gone so out of their way now to, like, make sure nothing interesting is on this crap.
Yes.
That I don't like it anymore. I used to love it. We used to – like, you know, like Katie and I would, like, gather around the TV for Hard Knocks. In the early days, it was good.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Campo and Rex Ryan, and now it's just completely antiseptic. Blah. But maybe Dan Campbell can save it. Maybe both the Lions and Hard Knocks will be restored. Their roars. Their
He's
going to
be hype
roars.
On his coffee, his just extra larges. Oh, I'm so excited, guys.
I mean, if I could hand select a team right now to put on Hard Knocks, Lions be up there.
The Titans have got to be on at some point.
They've got to be. It's got to be close.
There's only, what, now three teams, including the Titans, that haven't been on, I think.
You're not on if you make the playoffs here before, right? Is that right? That's criteria?
Is that right? Is that a rule?
I think it could be. I've heard that. I need to look up and see whether or not that's true.
Well, that wasn't true of the Jets. The Jets were really good back then when they were.
Well, maybe they wanted to be on it. I don't know. Maybe you have an out if you want to. You could say, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if part of the storyline is a foot fetish, that just changes the rules altogether.
Maybe so.
Shout out to Scott. Is it Scott?
Yeah. No, it's Sean.
Sean.
Oh, shout out to Sean.
And Rex.
Miss you, Sean.
We do. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your thoughts. Also, some news on a local team that is now number one in the country. We'll get to that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores the goal in that game, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Going to be joined by Darren McFarland coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Big win for the Preds last night. An opportunity to collect more points this week against Ottawa and Buffalo as well. We'll get Darren's thoughts on all that coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nate, texting in, says, I don't believe they'll allow Duke and North Carolina to play in the Final Four. The NCAA committee will somehow change the schedule to have a North Carolina-Duke final for Coach K's last game. Just going to switch it up.
Maybe they'll just decide to go like best two out of three, whoever wins, and just knock the other teams out. Adam Vingan's mad at you guys, by the way, on my personal text line.
What's he mad about?
Well, he says revenge factor on the Duke. I mean, he said Robbie and Michelle have been disowned. Actually, Vingan, I don't know. Who am I rooting for? Like, who do I actually want to win?
Joe, you are not rooting for Duke.
Yeah. Although I kind of think it would be funny, like, for the Carolina fans who acted like they had just, like, yes, we'll never see him again, and we just, you know what I mean? Like, it would kind of be funny for them to just take a big fat L, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but they don't win the national title by winning this game against North Carolina. They still got to play another one after.
So, no, I
regardless of who wins Villanova, Kansas, I'll be rooting for that winner.
Well, that's fine. I mean, maybe that's the best of both worlds, is that K gets UNC back, and so now both of them have felt the sting of that rivalry, and then we all think it's a coronation for K, and he loses on Monday night. See?
Yeah.
That might actually be the most acceptable. No?
Then he announces he's coming back and gets another farewell tour next year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
See, if he wins, I think I'll want him to win it all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you really don't want him to win Saturday, but then you think you'll root for him Monday if he does win.
Well, I can't root for Villanova because I'll never hear the end of it from my uncle. We're the real Wildcats, yada, yada, all that.
Oh, I see. Never, it's the Wildcat thing, right?
Never hear the end of it. Also, don't particularly want Kansas because they just beat Kentucky in all-time winning records during the tournament.
They did.
And, I mean, as much as I despise Duke, you really do have to, like, what Coach K has done in his career kind of is incredible. And it would be kind of iconic if he did just do this whole last dance and then just makes this run and actually wins it.
Yeah. I'm cool with him losing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the outcome of K winning the title is definitely my least. Like, I mean, everybody likes Jay Wright. You want to go by personality? Everybody likes Jay Wright, okay?
Sure.
And frankly, I like Hubert Davis, too. I mean, Hubert Davis, very likable.
In his first year.
Bill Self is, and I hope Mike from Nolensville is listening to this, Mike, my buddy, who's a huge Rock Chalk Jayhawk guy. You know, Bill Self is the guy who, all those years, everybody was, oh. Actually, Bill Self and Coach K both, okay? And I hope you're listening to this, Fingin. You know, Calipari was he's the villain. He's the cheater. He's the guy out here. The money's flowing and stuff. Not one damn thing different in how Self and Krzyzewski were running their programs. Not one thing. And yet Krzyzewski still has this, he does it the right way stuff.
He's been above board the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Go look at the Marvin Bagley recruitment. And just that specific recruitment. If you want to go,
trying to tell me that Nick Saban and Coach K may have not done things all above board.
Wild,
I won't
right?
stand for it.
Wild, isn't it? Just the suggestion. Go back to Corey McGetty's recruitment in the late 90s with Krzyzewski. A guy named
That's
Myron
a name
Piggy.
I haven't heard in a while.
If you haven't heard the name Myron Piggy, look that up on the internet. I mean, it's, again, money flows in this sport, in any arena where there is this much money involved and talent acquisition is that important. And yet, Calipari is a guy who was held up as a bad guy. I mean, Bill Self directly was involved in stuff with this FBI investigation. Like, he's actually on the tapes. Like, we all ripped on Will Wade, right?
Sure.
I mean, Bill Self, it's very plain. It's laid out bare for you. And he signed a contract that he can't be fired for cause because of this stuff. Because why? Because he wins and he gets the players. And he's a great coach. But again, for some reason, Bill Self all those years kind of avoided the Calipari treatment. It's Krzyzewski, for God's sake, still. Oh, Coach K, the right way. Yeah.
Rexroad loves Calipari. Is that what I'm hearing? No. I just made that inference.
What you're hearing is that it's everybody, you know, we have to have villains and heroes, you know? And so what it really is it's a whole bunch of gray in this sport because, I mean, I think now we're moving into an era where, again, the money can be right out there for everybody to see, and it can be more money, and it's better. But for a lot of years, we chose, Calipari's the scumbag over here. Coach K is he's the paragon of virtue over here. Did the same crap. I mean, I can go on and on about Krzyzewski and Duke. You know,
I'm not going to be on Vingan's list anymore. It's going to be
you. I should check my phone. Is Vingan just going off of me? No, not yet. I hope you were listening at him. If not, we got to send this to him. But we've talked about this. I mean, he and I have talked about this. Like, come on, man. And I don't remember if Vingan acknowledged it or not, but all Duke fans should acknowledge it. It's fine. I mean, again, I don't have a problem with it. It's the real world. The real world is when there's a market, there's going to be money that fills, you know, that has to be involved. But it's just interesting how – and, you know, Duke is a great university, and they've had a lot of really awesome – I mean, they've had incredible – like students and athletes, like Grant Hill and J.Y. I mean, they've also taken, just like any program, they've taken guys who barely got into college because it's still about talent.
Joe, a new number one in SEC baseball, in NCAA baseball, the Tennessee Volunteers, Tony Vitello and company, now the number one team in the nation. They sweep Ole Miss over the weekend, who was at number one. By the way, Lane Kiffin coming out on Friday night, throwing the first pitch, and threw a golf ball instead of a baseball because of the golf ball he got hit with at Neyland Stadium. Pretty epic troll job by Lane Kiffin.
Really? I didn't even know this.
Oh, this really happened. He threw a golf ball as the first pitch, and then Tennessee smacked Ole Miss 12-1. They sweep Ole Miss over the weekend. Now the number one team in the country, setting up a gigantic weekend here in Nashville. Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And one of the Ole Miss players guaranteed victory Saturday.
That didn't go well.
After he was like, well, they play in this small stadium and they hit homers and okay. And then they just come out and smack you again. I mean, the Vols were not supposed to be this good. They had some serious losses. But Tony Vitello's got it rolling. And, of course, Vanderbilt, it's too bad because Vanderbilt lost 2 of 3 to South Carolina. I thought this could have been like one versus two.
Yeah.
Where is Vanderbilt, by the way?
I need to go look.
There's like 19 different polls in baseball. They really need to streamline this here. But it's still a top 10 matchup for sure. And Vanderbilt's loaded. I mean, on paper, Vanderbilt is the better team. Well, I mean, on paper going into the year – with what we knew of the players. Maybe they aren't now. But they're both, I think, national championship contenders. And we talked about last year before that Knoxville series. Is this going to be a thing now where every year it's just a huge deal when they play? And I think we're seeing it's becoming a thing.
It is becoming a thing. Tennessee leads the nation in homers.
By a long shot.
By a long shot. They have 59. The next closest team is Mercer at 46. They got 13 more home runs than number two in the country.
And it's still a long way to go here. So, yeah.
Hey, it's going to be fun. Well, the thing that stands out to me is they're pitching the ball really well. Tidwell's not even been a part of things yet.
Blake
Tidwell's
just, coming back.
Looks like he's about to be coming back. But, you know, when you got guys that can throw the ball 104 miles an hour, did pretty well out there if you're Tennessee.
That does, yes, that does help. Yeah, no, they've been excellent. And, you know, Vanderbilt has been too, really, until this last weekend.
Yeah.
2 out of 3 South Carolina, which is a good team. It's going to be intense over there. I'm planning on being there all 3 days. So it's going to be, I think, 6 Friday, 7 Saturday, and 1 Sunday. Yeah. And I bet you it's going to be quite a scene.
I bet it is. It's going to be an awesome environment over there at the Hawk, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Big 2 points for the Preds last night. Can they carry that forward this week? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.